You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com.
The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. Welcome to Adventures in Randland. I'm Andy.
And I'm Wendy.
And today we are beginning The Great Hunt, book two of the Wheel of Time series, with the prologue and chapters 1-4. What were your overall thoughts of today's or this week's reading, Wendy?
Like I was saying before, I'm stressed.
And my like
right here is popping.
And like I was saying before, I think that's fantastic that you can start a book and already you're like, oh my God, what the hell? What's going on? What's going to happen? You know?
Exactly.
I love it.
I mean, I've loved it. I've loved the prologue. I love that there was a map in it, so you could kind of see where things were.
Yeah, 100% agree.
There was a lot of foreshadowing. And it was just funny. It was like, if the mountain won't come to Muhammad, Muhammad comes to the mountain.
That's awesome.
No, if the mountain doesn't come to Muhammad, Muhammad goes, I don't know. But just about we'll get into it in the upcoming chapter.
The thing about those maps is as you get further into the series, they become more detailed. They show more, like right now, it's only really showing you areas that are covered in the first two books. You know, and as you get further in, you get more detail in the maps, which I think is pretty cool. I don't know if everybody reads like I do, but when I'm reading, my brain, it's the reason why I like reading over watching TV, which I do, but not all that much. I mostly just watch sports. But is you can create your own landscapes, your own cities, your own people. You know, you can create everything in your mind, and those maps help you to kind of get an idea of directionality and how close everything is to each other, and you know, all that good stuff. So,
yeah,
good. Let's begin then. We're going to begin with the prologue, and I will say, at least especially in the early books, I love the prologues. I think the prologues are just fantastic. In the later books, they get a little extreme. There's one that it's going to take us 3 weeks, I think, just to get through the prologue. But yeah.
What for that? Why he just didn't make it his own book?
Right. That's exactly it. The prologue is basically a book. But this one, this is another one like the second prologue of the first book with Luz Theron and Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that one. This one is kind of different. You know, it's not, it doesn't necessarily fit into what the rest of the first four chapters do. It's kind of off to the side. So. And I like it. I like it a lot. So the prologue is titled In the Shadow. And this prologue's an account of the Dark Friend Social. Do they officially call it that in the reading? I don't remember.
I don't think they call it the social.
Well, that's how it's referred by...
Yeah, I mean, like... But it looks
by
like
the fan. The constant readers of this series, that's how they refer it. To it, the Dark Friend Social, which is kind of funny. But then as I was thinking about that, it's like, you know, I put that in my notes as the Dark Friend Social, but I don't think they ever really say that in the book. So,
yeah.
And it's an account through the eyes of Bors. Any thoughts on who Bors is?
Well, by the end of the chapter, figure out that he's a white clone.
Okay, cool.
Like, he was very, very secretive, but he's like the smartest of them. He's like, oh, don't do this, don't do that. So he thinks very highly of himself.
I was going to say, don't you think they're all the smartest of them? Just ask him. I mean.
Yeah, but like how he was being like, you know, I would never wear those shoes where you could, you know, do this. And, you know, you could see so clearly who they are. Or jewelry, or shuffling, oh, that guy must be a guard, you know, and he was just staying in the background. It's just like, he seems to think, like, from his viewpoint.
Right, exactly.
Right. The others probably think that they're just as smart, but I thought it was very, very illuminating when, I'm like, wait a second, who's that crest? What's this? I'm like, white cloak. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome because you have the white cloak, obviously, that we're seeing the view of. You have people from everywhere there, including Aes Sedai. So,
yeah. Well, so. That's the black Aes Sedai.
Right.
And but it was just everybody with all these different cultures and backgrounds. So it just showed, like, how far the Dark Friend's reach were.
Right, exactly.
And, like, how high in power. Because, like, there's, like, dukes, noblemen, noble women...
But there's also, you know, commoners there as well. I mean, it's not just the high powered.
Yeah.
It tells you that in every area of the world, that you're going to have Dark Friends there. You're going to have people who are, you know.
Yeah.
Being told what to do by Azamon here.
Yes, exactly.
So there were, like I said, there were two Aes Sedai there, at least, but two that he saw. As he's looking around, a chime sounds and a door on the at the end of the room opens, and a couple of Trollocs enter, and then a Murdral follows them, and the Murdral tells everybody to get on the ground and grovel. Just makes you really want to be a Dark Friend, doesn't it? All the respect you get.
No, yeah.
He follows the Murdral's line. Oh, what? The Murdral says, the great Lord of the Dark is my master, and most heartily do I serve him to the last shred of my very soul. I pulled this out because it makes me think in reverse of growing up Catholic, in that we had... Oh. During Catholic services, outside of the gospel and the two readings that you get, pretty much everything else is the same every week. And that's what this kind of sounds like to me, is it's just like what you say, the great Lord is my master, and most heartily do I serve. You know, it almost sounds like a prayer, if you will. You know, I mean, and Bors in his head says, the hand of the Creator shelters us all. And the light protects us from the shadow before reminding himself that he serves the Dark Lord now. So that's the wrong answer. So I thought that was kind of funny. Somebody still wants to be on the side of the light, but he doesn't. That seems to be a pattern with Dark Friends, too. Is they realize what they've gotten into but can't get out. So voice tells... everyone to rise, and he looks up and he sees a man floating in the air. who tells him to call himself Baal-Zamon, which is a little full of himself, I think, and then tells him that they're in a chamber just outside of Sheol-Gul, which is where the Dark One is imprisoned, and that the Wheel of Time will soon be broken and the Great Serpent will die, with the Great Lord remaking the world in his image. Good times.
Oh, yeah.
And then he lets him know that, yeah, but all of you, of course, will rule the world forever when he breaks out. So you're cool. Yeah. You're good, because you're on our
side. You're good.
We're clearly going to win. Well, and that's the thing. From a philosophical, I guess, perspective, I can understand that part, in that the wheel turns, and at the end of each turning, you have a battle between, you know, the dragon, if you will, and the Dark One, and the dragon wins. But eventually the dragon will lose, is the way they see it, is that it's going to keep happening until the Dark One wins, right? And then, so they see themselves as the eventual winners, regardless. So, kind of dumb, but I can see where they're kind of coming from there, that eventually they're going to win.
You know, you can't always lose.
Right.
You know, eventually it has to land on heads.
You know, UCLA basketball only won for 4 straight years. Eventually they did lose a game, so... That was the 70s, I think. But so the air shimmered, and a figure of a young countryman appeared. And this one had mischievous brown eyes and a smile on his lips. And that it is the greatest character in the entire book. And then you had the air shimmering again. And then you had the figure of a young countryman again, a different one. And this one had the yellow eyes, and he's heavily muscled. Battle axe, and that one is. And then the third time, you have the shimmering, and you see a tall man with reddish hair and the hair marked sword at his side, and that, of course, would be Rand. So Baal-Zamon, if you will, I mean, that's what they can call him, he tells the crowd that the dragon's been reborn, and they start murmuring, and they ask, well, you know, should we kill him? He says, well, maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. So I find that kind of interesting. So he doesn't even know what he's supposed to do.
Right. So it was funny. It was then that I realized that Baal-Zamon wasn't the Dark One. He's probably his top disciple.
You caught on to that faster than I did when I was, for the first time I was reading through it. I was like, this is so weird. Why is this guy pretending? But yes, Baal-Zamon is not the Dark One. The Dark One is the Dark One. It's Shaitan. Baal-Zamon would be, like you said, a top disciple. So, his henchman, if you will.
Yeah.
So.
Because that's why, I thought it was interesting when they, you know, it said how his hands were, like, kind of, like, burnt and scarred looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Rand actually did do something to him, but he still doesn't realize that Rand's the Dragon Reborn.
Oh, he just knows that one of these three is. And we went through that through the whole first book. He kept, you know, Rand wasn't the only one who had the dreams, the weird dreams. All three of them were, and he's trying to figure out, okay, I know this is where the centralized power is, but I'm not sure which one has it.
Exactly.
It makes you wonder, because he knows that it was Rand at the end of the last book who channeled, makes you think that maybe he thinks that all three of them can channel, right? Well, he is a bad guy. Bad guys tend to be stupid.
The thing is, like Rand said, it's like, that I defeated you, and like they were in the dreamscape or whatever you want to call it, and that happened. Would kind of think that he'd be like, I'm pretty sure it's this one right here.
Yes, unless, like I was saying, all three of them can channel, and it just happened to be Rand who, you know, who he fought that time. He didn't kill him, obviously. He's still around, right?
No, but, like, would it be, like, could all three of them channel to that degree, though? That'd be kind of, like...
Who knows? No, I get it, and I agree with you. But, you know, I mean, evil's dumb, or as... The reverse would be, as Spaceball said, evil will always triumph because good is dumb. But, I don't know why I love that line, but I always have. All right. So Boris sees a woman who's acting different than the others. You know, she's kind of acting like she's speaking to somebody, but he can't see anybody there. And he can't hear what she's saying. He can't hear what she's being told. I'm just kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
And then she straightens up, and then the woman next to her kind of follows that same pattern. So it's kind of seems like it's going around the room. Mm-hmm. And eventually it gets to him, and he sees the mask of Bielsamon just filling his vision. And he asks him, Bielsamon asks him if he's been faithful, and Boris swears that he is. And then he gives Boris his instructions, which makes you think that everybody's getting different instructions, like personalized instructions, right?
Exactly.
And he tells him to return to Terabon and continue his work there and watch for those three men that he was showing, and to speak to no one about those who've landed on Toman Head. So we don't know anything about those who've landed on Toman Head yet. So
yeah. And it was kind of also then when it was happening, I was kind of wondering if in some way that Boris isn't trying to hedge his bets. Because it almost seemed like he was trying to hide his mind, like he was afraid that Bielsamon would read his mind too much.
I agree. And I think that could probably be true of a lot of people who are here. You know, I mean, just if you think about it, if you've decided that
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Salvation lies with, you know, the bad guy. You're probably not the best of people, the most trusting and, you know.
The most trustworthy?
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of not the good guy, you know? I mean, so, and in fantasy novels, that makes you the bad guy, so. So, his head is grasped, and he sees a bunch. I put a gaggle in my notes, I love that word. Apocalyptic images, and then Bielsamon moves on to the next person, and Boris is led off by a lady in white to his room. And that kind of ends the prologue. Thoughts on the prologue?
I mean, it was kind of like at the end where you realize that Boris is like, because I was trying to figure out who is he? Because it seemed like, is he playing both sides? And then when it realized that he was a white cloak, then I'm like, I wonder if he's met them already. But then it seemed like he didn't recognize who Perrin was.
Right, isn't that interesting?
Part of the white cloaks that had captured
him. Right.
So it's not a white cloak that we've met so far.
Correct. And you've got to think it's probably a pretty high ranking white cloak if he's at this meeting.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. You know? Yeah.
So we are going to be putting a pin in this prologue. Way later in the series, we're going to come back to it, I think. And we're going to see if we can pick out who people are.
Yeah. Okay.
So, because we don't really know who any of these people are. And it'll be kind of fun to see if we can kind of say, oh, I bet that's this person and that's this person. So.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to chapter one, titled The Flame of Tar Valon. So, Land and Rand, Let's try that again. Lan and Rand. Say that five times fast. They're practicing the sword, using the practice swords, obviously. And Rand's focusing on his flame in the void. And then out of nowhere, a wind grabs Rand, pushes him forward, and Lan takes advantage and strikes him. So he gets kind of upset at Rand. He's like, "What? Why are we even practicing if this is all the better you are? You know, you should be better than this by now." Basically calls him a terrible swordsman. And when Rand tries to explain, Lan tells him that strange things can happen when you're close to the Blight. So Rand grabs his sword and starts thinking about Tam. And he's doubting if Tam is really his father. And Lan tells him that where he comes from in the Borderlands, that if a man raises a child, then that child is his, regardless of whether,
right,
you know, he's actually his dad. So it's a kind of a fun little exchange there. Basically saying, dude, it doesn't matter. He may be your dad, he may not be your dad, but he's your dad. You know?
It's like, he raised you.
Yeah.
He loved you.
Yeah.
Like, stop like, kind of worrying about this. For all intents and purposes, he's your dad.
Quit being a little teenager.
Quit being a baby ass.
Exactly. So, Rand says that he needs to learn how to use the sword better, and Lan tells him he can always sell it, that it's rare even among Harrenmark swords, and he can get a lot of money for it. So I feel like that's Lan just kind of, like, needling him. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's funny. I can see just like a little smirk on Lan's face as he's going through this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then Lan kind of gives a short history about Rand's sword. Tells him that during the War of the Shadow, that there were lots of weapons, including Rand's, that had been wrought with the One Power. So that shows that Rand's sword is not special just because it's Harrenmark, but it's Harrenmark and it's forged by the power. You know what I mean? It can't be, it doesn't dull and it can't be broken. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it was worth more than a few bombs.
Yes.
And then you still wonder, it's like, did his dad buy it or not? Like, where did a country bumpkin come up with the money to buy it?
Exactly. I mean, that sword is worth more than the Two Rivers, value-wise,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, and like,
you know,
when, when he said, like, he paid too much, like, his wife was complaining that he paid too much for it, I'm like, I'm starting to think that he made that up.
Exactly. It's like, but that could have two meanings, too. I mean, by paying too much, maybe she's not talking about money. Maybe she's talking about, you know... He killed people.
And then
people.
It started making me think, I'm like, I wonder if she was an Aes Sedai and he was her warder.
I like it. I'm not going to respond, but I like it a lot. So,
like, that fell in love, and because they did say that sometimes Aes Sedai marry their warder.
Greens do, absolutely. Greens, a lot of times, will marry their warders. Blues might as well, but they don't actually marry, for the most part. But greens will marry their warders. Reds do not, because they don't have warders. Stupid reds. All right, so Rand whines, talking about how he can't escape Aes Sedai, and Lan says, well, why are you still in Faldara? You could have left. Like, so Rand tells him that he doesn't want to leave before Matt and Perrin leave, and that he doesn't think he's going to see him for a long time, so he wants to, you know, hang out with them while they're here.
Spend as much time with them as they can.
Exactly. And then that, of course, naturally pivots the conversation towards Egwene. And Lan asks him, he says, well, would you have Egwene, you know, give up her life, potential life in the White Tower to just become a wandering nomad with you? And Rand says, well, I wouldn't let her do that even if she wanted to. So I don't know how truthful Rand's being, but, you know, I mean...
Yeah. Well, he did say that he wouldn't let her do it, but it would be nice just to have her, like, ask, so he could be like, no.
Right, that's true.
You know, I think he cares too much, and you'll see in the later chapters where he, you know, sabotages things, shall we say.
Right.
So it makes it easier for him to get away. And I think, you know, he would do that. But just to hear her say that she would want to go with him is basically all he wants.
I agree. Completely agree. He wants to know that she wants to go. He wouldn't let her go, but he wants to know that he's wanted.
That she wants to go.
Right, because she's Egwene.
Yes.
The love of his life and all that crap.
Yes.
So, Lan asked Rand, I just skip, just disregard that whole last bit there. Okay. So, the conversation moves towards Moraine next, and Lan tells Rand that he... When Rand's complaining about Moraine, Lan says, well, you'd be dead if it wasn't for her sheep herder.
I like how they always bring out sheep herder.
I love it. And that happens throughout the whole series. Yeah, he gets needled with that, and I love it. So, yeah, blacksmith, sheep herder, and, I don't know, gambler. Yes, my favorite. So their conversation is interrupted by trumpets in the distance. And they see a large procession moving through the city, bearing the flame of Tar Valon. So they know that this is Aes Sedai, obviously. And Rand asks why there's so many of them. And Lan tells him that the Amyrlin Seat is personally in the procession. And lets him know that it probably would have been better if he was a week gone already. Like, you should have left. Now you're screwed. So, yeah. So, kind of ratcheting up the tension a little bit in chapter one. I like it. I like it. Thoughts on the first chapter? Well, I need to stop talking so much then.
Yeah, you're stealing the show.
I apologize. You want to try leading a chapter? I can give you chapter two if you want.
Then, let me see. Is that the one where you... But, you lead, but I'll speak up more.
All right. I will try to speak a little less.
Okay.
I like to talk, and I like the sound of my voice. You know, it's not my fault. I don't blame you. All right. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is titled The Welcome. So, essentially, Rand is freaking out because it's not just Aes Sedai that show up, but it's the actual Amyrlin. Do you know who the Amyrlin is? Like, do you understand? She's like...
She's the head of the Aes Sedai.
So he goes...
They're coming and they're all pomp and circumstance and he's freaked the hell out because he can channel and he's like, he's going to be gentle.
Exactly. He's like, well, I'm screwed and I need to get the hell out of Faldara.
Need to get the hell out of Da.
So he runs back towards his rooms and I thought it was funny that as he's running through the hallways, he has people saying, hey, I bet she's here to see you. You're so honored. That's so cool.
Yeah, and he was freaking out.
And he's like, stop it. Exactly. I just think that's awesome. He's like, but she is here to see me, and I don't want to see her. Like, you don't understand. This isn't an honor. I'm screwed.
Exactly.
So he gets to his room, and there's women, like, tossing out all of his clothes and giving him new clothes. And he finds out that it's because Moraine wanted him to have a whole new wardrobe, that their clothes aren't good enough for him anymore. They tell him to undress, and he's like, hey, can you please, come on, I'm a shy little country boy, so.
Well, they all know that because they all, like, from the baths.
Oh, I know.
They all just, like, they like seeing him, like, blush.
Oh, and I love it. I think it's hilarious.
And they're all, like, into it to see him blush and see what he'll do. And, like, I just love it how they pushed him.
Oh, I do, too. I think it's hilarious.
Because they wanted his underclothes. And she's like, I can just wait here. And he's like, no. Wait.
Yep.
And when he's not getting undressed fast enough, she's like, do you need help? No. I swear. I'm like, on my honor, I'll give you this stuff. Just leave me.
I will pass you my clothes. Just leave me. Let me be. So he packs his crap, and he's looking to get out of Faldara. He grabs his bow as well, so he's looking to actually leave. And he's on his way to the stables, and he sees...
You forgot to mention, though, because when they were throwing everything out, they were going through every nook and cranny.
Oh, yeah.
To throw out all the clothes, and they missed Tom's Gleeman cloak, which he brought with him, too.
It makes you wonder if they were told to leave that, you know?
Pardon?
It makes you wonder whether they were told to leave
that. Well, no, because he said it was hidden.
Okay.
It was hidden under the step or whatever of the bed, like where they wouldn't think to look for clothing.
But it seems to me like they were like ripping his room apart, so I'm not sure they wouldn't miss it. Well, maybe. You're probably right.
They were only going through the closets and the drawers. Why would they hide clothing someplace else?
That's true.
They were only getting rid of the clothes. They weren't looking for anything else. It was just the clothing.
I guess I'm thinking of him as a teenager and thinking they were probably clothes all over the room, but maybe he's not a sloppy teenager, so.
Well, they had the maids cleaning up after them all the time anyway.
Fair point.
So they would know where the clothes were.
That is a very, very fair point. So they did. They missed Tom's cloak, so. Yeah, that's good. We still have a memory of Tom. Poor guy. So.
I still have hope he's alive.
Do you?
I do.
Well, I mean, they brought him up, so that makes you think that there must be a reason why they brought him up, right?
Yep.
Although we're still in the beginning, so maybe we're still kind of, not summarizing the last book necessarily, but kind of giving play to the previous book. So, who knows? I'm sure we'll find out. So, as he's passing the stables, he sees the entourage, if you will, of the Emerald Sea, and he hears the welcoming ceremony as she is welcomed into Faldara, and that's Aglamar welcomes her, saying,
right.
Faldara offers bread and salt and welcome. I think it's kind of cool that the reason why I bring up exactly how he said it is I think it's kind of cool that in each area of the world they have different greetings and things like that. And I just think it helps to show that there are different cultures and different societies in the world. You know, I mean, it helps differentiate. So.
And it's also very, very formal. And I just thought it was so funny. She called him his son and he called him her his mother. Rand was just like thinking, looks more like her grandfather.
Yeah, no, that's a stupid sheep herder. But no, I like it.
He would comment that, but he would actually take it that way.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, I agree. So Rand hurries by. He's like really, really trying to get out now. He's like, okay, I have to leave. So, because, I mean, it's one thing to say, well, the Ammerlin's with them. It's another thing to see the Ammerlin and say, oh, crap, the Ammerlin is definitely there. It's not just a rumor. So he gets to the stables, and he sees a guard named Tima, or a stable hand, I think, named Tima. And
wasn't he the head stable guy?
Right, he's in charge of the stables. And Tima tells him that an order's been passed, and nobody is allowed to leave, including Rand. And Rand says, well, did it come from Aglamar? And Tima says, well, it must have. I mean, who else would have given that order? That's Aglamar's plan. So,
But it also builds up a sense of foreboding.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, well, who else would give this? Because he's like wondering, was it the Aes Sedai that gave it? Or was it him? Like, who gave the
You can almost hear the Jaws music playing in the background, you know, like
But what I also thought was interesting was when we found out that the owl in front of the name meant king.
Here it does. Royalty. In the Borderlands it does. It does not in the Two Rivers.
It does not in the Two Rivers. But here, and then...
And so they all treat him like he's a Western prince.
Yeah, exactly. He can't stand it. And he's like, no, I'm not.
It's hilarious. Yeah, he's just like, listen, I'm just a sheep herder. They're like, yeah. Of course you are, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And they treat him with such deference.
I love it. Yeah, well, and again, this stable hand, this Tima, it's like, well, I mean, I'm sure the Omerlin's going to be sending for you. I mean, you're a Highland lord, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure she wants to see you, and it's awesome. Good for you for getting to see the Omerlin. And he's like, but no!
No, that's not what I want to do.
Oh, I love it. The Omerlin seat will be sending for my lord and my lord's friends to come see her.
So. Yes. Now that the welcome's done.
And Rand was running, and now he's running faster. It's like, I'm out.
I'm out of here. See you later.
Anything else on Chapter 2 that stood out to you?
No, I think that was it. It was just that, and I also didn't realize that it was not considered, I must have misread it, that... it wasn't considered using the owl in front of the name. It sounded like it kind of wore out in where Two Rivers is, but it would still be considered part of royalty because it's all part of the same
area,
kingdom.
Where
that's how I took it, that like maybe...
Where he comes from, the owl is more of... Like, it means, like, son or child of.
Son of, that's right.
Yeah, so he's the son of Thor. Odd.
Ah.
Right? Puts a new thought on it, doesn't it? No, but this whole story, the whole 14 books, what Robert Jordan was trying to do was to kind of give us an idea of where our legends in this came from. So that's kind of the role that he is giving Rand. He's the son of Thor. Does that make sense? Tam?
How was it Brand?
Tam. Or is...
So it should have been Al-Tam.
But at the beginning, he wonders if he's even the son of Tam.
Well, wasn't Tam... Well, but it was Tam Al-Thor, too.
Right.
So...
Makes you wonder. So... I thought it was interesting that in the intro, or like when they were introducing the Umbrella Seat, they were going through all of her little nicknames, and one of them was the Watcher of the Seals. What are your thoughts of that? Anything? Is she just a big fan of that kind of music?
The Watchers of the Seals. Well, everybody, that means that she kind of takes care of all the different kingdoms, because don't everybody, every like kingdom, duchy, or whatever has its own seal.
Okay, I like it. I'm not going to comment further. I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's one of those little pins that we're marking. All right. Yeah, I guess that's about all I have to say about this one. About this chapter, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up on this chapter? Anything that stood out?
No, I'm just sensing a lot of running and not getting anywhere.
Right? Running in circles, literally, almost.
Exactly. It's just like you could just sense his sense of desperation coming down on him.
Yeah, almost a sense of foreboding. Just like, oh my God. It's like, I just want to get out. Now Aglamar has blocked off all the exits and nobody's allowed to leave. And why would they do that if not to keep me in? And if they're going to keep me in, then obviously they're going to gentle me. And, oh my God, I'm so screwed. Even though he has said that he's never going to use the power again, right? He said that at the end of the last book. You'd think he'd want to be gentle.
Closed, but everything else would be closing.
Right, exactly. It's like there must be a way. There must be something they don't know.
There has to be a way out of
here. Right? Or is there? Give me 1 second here. I'm sorry. What are we going through? Chapter 4 today, right?
Yes.
Cool. I was putting my title on my recording. I'm sorry. All right. Chapter 3, Friends and Enemies. Before I move on, I should have brought this up way back in the first book in Chapter 1. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the... Like, do you have the icons on your reader, your e-reader? Do you have the little icons at the beginning of each chapter?
Oh, you mean like the...
Like here it's the dagger. That's what that's supposed to be, is Matt's dagger for chapter 3.
Yeah, I do.
Cool. I'm going to start mentioning those. I should have done it for the last book, too, because I think it kind of does... We can kind of, that can be another side note, as we can talk, how does that play into the chapter that we're reading, if we find any that are interesting. So this is chapter 3, is Friends and Enemies is the title, and it is that Matt's dagger, the ruby-hilted dagger, is the symbol. All right, so Rand learns that... Or hears that the Emerald Seat will be sending for him, so he's freaking out even more, and he's like, I have to leave. So he starts heading towards the Sally Gate, and he finds that that is also closed, like locked up, and it's being guarded by two guards named Reagan and Massima. I don't know if names really matter here, but that is who's guarding it. So Rand says, well, you know, I just wanted to go out and maybe hunt some rabbits, you know, get some fresh air. And they say, well...
There's too many people here.
Yeah, yeah, I can't take it. There's too many people around. I just want to go out and kind of have some alone time. And they tell him that, tough shit. Lord Aggamar says, you don't get to leave. Nobody does, so you're going to stay. You're not leaving by this way.
Yeah.
So Rand kind of tries to laugh it off, and then he says, well, Why would Aggamar want to keep me inside? And they're like...
I'm a guest. I've been here. I can come and go right. As much as I please.
It's not like I'm a prisoner or anything. And the guards are like, huh? Yeah, well, you don't get to leave, so sorry. So Rand tells him he's just going to go walk in the gardens instead. And Rand goes and walks in. Oh, no, he doesn't. He decides he's not going to walk in the gardens after all, even though that's what he told the guards.
He's going to find a way out.
Right. So he goes to Carter's Gate, and he finds that it's locked and guarded. And he goes to the Dog's Gate, and he finds out that's locked and guarded. And he's starting to get very worried, very afraid that he's going to be found and that the Emerald is going to gentle him. So he's getting himself all worked up. Understandably, too, though. I mean, he knows who he is, and he knows that Moraine knows who he is. And he knows that the Amaranth doesn't just randomly go places, you know, I mean.
Right.
So.
And he's starting to think that maybe Moraine contacted her.
Right, exactly. He's like, I'm in trouble.
Troubleness.
His fear. And he even gets to the point where he's like, well, maybe being gentle wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
And then he's thinking, yeah, but it must be because...
Yeah, but then they said those people get gentle, die. Really.
Exactly. They're like, well, he's going to die. If I get gentle, I'm going to die, so that's probably not good. He continues, you know, just kind of wandering around the keep looking for a way out, and he ends up in a storeroom. And he finds a bunch of men kneeling around, throwing dice, with Loyal watching... And starts talking to Loyal, you know?
Yeah.
And,
Well, he figured Loyal might know a way out because the Ogiers had built other keeps.
Right, exactly. And he's like...
This was man-made. It wasn't Ogier made. But he, you know...
Not only that, but Loyal wouldn't have been the one who would have built it either. But,
right.
But yes, he's desperate. He's really looking for a way. And Loyal mentions that the Emerlin looked tired and how hard it would be to be the Emerlin. You know, he's totally... Loyal cracks me up because he's always like, don't speak bad about Aes Sedai. you know, like, oh, you should be careful what you say around Aes Sedai. You know, he's just totally enthralled by Aes Sedai, you know, I mean.
Loyal's just so sweet.
Oh, he is. He is.
We love me some of
Loyal. He compares him to being an elder of the Ogier. You know, I mean, just like a lot of deference, a lot of respect. So then Loyal complains that they won't let him dice with him. That the guys playing dice won't let him dice with him, which. And I love their little saying, every time he wants to join in, they say glory to the builders, and then don't let him play. So I think that's kind of funny.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're a great man, you're great, but no, sorry, we couldn't play with you. So.
No soup for you.
Exactly, you come back 2 weeks. No soup for you. And asking Loyal if he knows any secret ways out, Loyal brings up that the city used to be called, or the city that the Ogier built anyway, was called Mafal Dadaranel, which I probably butchered. And that's kind of where Faldara gets its name. It's kind of a shorthand almost by it. So, but it's not the same city. It's not built the same way. And, you know, I mean, this was an ancient city, so... So Loyal thinks that there's something wrong with Rand, and he calls for Matt and Perrin. So now we finally get everybody, the whole band is back together again, if you will.
The band is back together again, exactly. Well, I thought it was really funny because, you know, Matt was playing dice.
Yeah, of course he was. That's what he does.
You know, Matt gets to play dice with these guys. It's like they're accepted as more locals, whereas Rand isn't. It's like he's...
A lord. Right?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, he's seen as above them. But it's also that Rand's also been kind of like keeping himself separate.
And hanging out with Lan. Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with it is, well, he's hanging out with the warriors, so obviously he's something special. You know?
Right.
Whereas Matt's sitting there, he might as well be one of the servants. You know, he's sitting there dicing with the common folk.
Hi.
And it's also funny because Matt seems to be good at it too, so they'd rather lose their money to Matt than play with Loyal, which is kind of humorous to me, I think, anyway. So Matt and Perrin show up, and Rand wants to go alone. He doesn't want them coming with him, obviously, because he's scared of himself, and he doesn't want to, you know, he has all the stories, so he doesn't want to hurt his friends. He doesn't want to end up destroying his friends. So he kind of flips out on him. It's like, maybe I don't want you two to come with me. Maybe I don't want you always hanging around.
Kind of flip out on him,
Yes, he does. You are right. I was not harsh enough. So,
because he's trying to push him away. That's what I was kind of...
Insinuating?
Insinuating before when we were talking about wanting Egwene to come, but also would, like, make sure that she did. Because he would
right.
be an asshole.
Right, but he wasn't nearly the asshole in that conversation as he is here. I mean, maybe I don't want you two going with me, always hanging around, falling into trouble, and expecting me to pull you out. You ever think of that? Burn me. Did it ever occur to you that I might be tired of always having you there when I turn around? Always there. I'm tired of it. It's like, settle yourself, please. And I do think
That's what I'm saying. He's acting like...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The way bigger asshole.
The two reactions, I think, are kind of funny because Perrin's almost hurt. Like, he's like, what did I do? Almost like Loyal. I always picture him as fairly ogierish, you know? I mean, and then Matt almost seems pissed, you know? Like, what the hell? So, and then he tells Loyal, he says, you're no use to me if you don't know a way out. Go find your trees and your precious groves if they haven't been all cut down. Good riddance to you. It's like, good Lord, dude. Chill.
Yeah, he is just like burning bridges left, right, and center.
Right. I mean, just trying to force everybody out of his life, which is kind of funny because if you really want a way out, maybe you should not be burning bridges, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think he's just so he's so scared and so desperate that they're going to be calling him that he just needs to separate himself from them.
Right.
So quickly.
And not just that, but he wants to make sure that his goal is to just disappear, you know, to go wander in the desert, if you will. You know, I mean.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to hurt them either. I think he's also getting scared that the more anxious he gets, he might do something.
Right. Exactly correct. I completely agree. Good for you. So so he continues running around, searching for somewhere to hide, and he runs into Egwene, and she kind of chides him. She says she ran into Matt and Pear and Loyal, and she wants to know what he thinks he's doing. Like, what do you... Well,
she knows what he's doing, but she wants to know
why. You're right.
She knows the game that he's up to. She's like, she's wise to him. She's like, you're doing this on purpose. Why? What's going on? And, you know, don't go it alone. And then he explains. And
sort of. He's also like, he also doesn't trust her. He's like, why don't you go hang out with the Aes Sedai now? Yeah. That's what you're going to be, right? Just go be an Aes Sedai. Leave me alone. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So he goes to walk away from her, and she kind of like knocks him to the ground almost. I mean, she's Egwene.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find that that's who she is. She's a very, very strong little girl. Although it's not usually physically. It's, yeah, exactly. Exactly. She's, you know what, Rand? That's not going to work on me. You know what I mean? So she tells him that she can think of a great place that he needs to hide somewhere where no Aes Sedai would go, and she suggests the dungeon, which I think is kind of funny. You know, it's like, out of all the places to hide, it's like, well, go hang out in the dungeon, like, not in a cell, but, you know, why would they go into the dungeon? It's like, exactly. Oh, that's,
why would they go look there? Who would be stupid enough to hide
in, right, the, I mean, and it says something about her that she immediately thinks the dungeon, that's a great place to hide. It's like, good Lord, Egwene. That, oh, she is. She is conniving. I like her a lot. Not as much as her aunt, or Matt, but I like her a lot. So they get to the dungeon, and they run into the guard, the dungeon guard, the jail guard named Chengu. Not that that really matters, but... And he wants to know what they want, and he's kind of rude, you know? I mean, he recognizes Egwene, and he asks who Rand is, which I find very strange since everybody in Faldara seems to know who he is. But I guess if he hasn't gone to the dungeons, the guards there probably won't know who he is. But I don't know. I just thought that was kind of weird. The Chengu, while talking to him, is kind of leading him to Padan Fane's cell, because that's where Egwene seems to go when she goes in there. She goes in and she talks to Padan Fane.
At least, I'll give this for Rand. For once, men seem to be making sense.
Exactly. Rand's like, the guy who... Yeah.
When Rand starts making sense, then, you know, we're in trouble.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's like...
versus Egwene? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's great. As they approach, Padan Fane does his little chant, which I'm not going to go into, but it's kind of creepy.
Yes, it is.
Soon the day all shall die, surely you, but never I. I just see this, like, evil look on his face as he's doing this, you know what I mean? Creepy man. So Egwene backs off because I guess she had been coming and visiting him and he hadn't been so bad, but like this is worse than he normally is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Rand says that he thinks that Pettenfane's gone mad, and Egwene says, well, maybe this isn't such a good idea hanging out down here.
Well, she also noticed that, like, the guards were acting more
weird.
Surly.
Yes.
And, like, everybody's getting weirder and weirder around Pettenfane. And I think Pettenfane, his powers, being down there in the dark, they ain't going away.
Right.
I think he was just buying time, but he's drawing on those people because, like, everybody keeps getting worse and worse. And by her coming down, she's actually seeing the changes of people.
It makes you wonder how smart it is to come down there, because who's to say that it won't affect her if she keeps going down? You know,
exactly.
I mean, like not probably not the smartest move. So she goes.
And she didn't tell Moraine.
Oh,
yes. That when Matt's like, well, did you talk to Moraine about this?
Moraine's not my mom.
I could just hear her.
Right. That's funny. Exactly. So after she decides maybe this wasn't a good idea, she goes, I know where they'll never look for you. Let's go to the women's tower. Let's go hang out in the women's chambers, the women's apartments.
Exactly.
She always has an answer, though. You have to give her credit for that. I mean, she always has something.
Oh, yeah.
So that pretty much ends this chapter. It's never over, Althor. Never. Whoa. Evil laugh. Overall thoughts on chapter 3?
Thinking that Pettenfane was letting people think that he was captured.
So you think he can just break out?
Thinking that he's not as helpless as he may seem to be.
Well, he certainly seems to have an effect as far as personality and things like that on those who are around him, for sure, right? I mean, the guards are not very, very friendly right now, and you know,
exactly.
Among others. So, what are your thoughts on that ruby hilted dagger? As how does that apply anywhere in here? It doesn't really come into.
Well, you know, other than that, Matt still has it,
and
you know, and they were saying that he can't leave it behind because it would kill him, and
he has
to go to Tarvalon to get rid of it.
Absolutely.
And like when he was saying that he would go with Rand, Rand's like, no, you can't do that because then it'll really take you over. So, you know, that's when Rand got really defensive. And that's when he turned his tactics and he's like, I don't want you guys.
Right.
And then Matt was like, well, if you leave and I leave at the same time, you can't tell me what to do.
You're not the boss of me.
You're not, exactly.
Look at you being a High Lord Prince.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like it. So it kind of, yep,
It's there in the background, worried about his friend, and he wants his friend to be, you know, to be safe.
I do think, speaking of Matt, that it was interesting that this is the first time that we really see that he's lucky with the dice, right? I mean, he was winning. Rand was just, like, this whole chapter was just Rand freaking out. Like, just getting worse and worse and worse about thinking he's screwed, so.
Yeah.
All right, any final thoughts on this chapter?
I think that was it, pretty much.
Yeah, I agree. I was just looking over my notes, seeing if there's anything else, and there really wasn't, so. All right,
no.
Chapter 4. Titled Summon, and this icon is the Horn of Valyr. Well, I assume it's the Horn of Valyr. It's a horn. And this is told through Moraine, so it's interesting. We finally get a non-Rand chapter because it seems like most of them are through his perspective. So Moraine's in the women's apartment, and she's adjusting her shawl, which normally I wouldn't bring up, but it kind of tells you that we've never really seen her with her shawl before. So this is almost like putting on the suit, coat, and tie. You know, I mean, like getting all gussied up because the Amaryllis seat's there.
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah, because she was being summoned before, so she had to put on the proper attire, I would think.
Doesn't necessarily have to, but she definitely sees that as she has to, you know? Well, maybe she does have to.
I would think that you would have to, because she was so formally accepted that it would seem to be crass or...
disrespectful, you know, almost.
Disrespectful, that's a good word for it. Not to be wearing her robe.
Sure. Absolutely. What the shawl is, what I guess, yeah. No, I completely agree. Not the way I looked at it, but I think you're right. So I like it. So just as she's getting ready to leave her room, she gets a knock on the door, and there's two Aes Sedai standing outside her room. It's Anaya, which is Blue Aja, which is what Meereen is. And then it's Leandrin, who is Red, which makes her an automatic enemy, right? I mean, those damn Reds.
And I don't trust her. I can throw her.
Is it because she's red, or is it just something in her personality?
Both.
It's her personality, and the fact that she's red doesn't help matters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. So,
And I like how they also said how sweet, pretty, and cute she looked, or whatever, but she wasn't.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
So much fakeness.
I'm almost thinking...
That's, we can put a pin in that. I'm sure at some point in the next 13 books, they'll probably let us know whether she is or not. All right. So Anaya, kind of what you were saying, Anaya greets them like they're old friends. Leandrin does not. She's just kind of a bitch. And they tell her after the little greetings that, the Emerlin seat means to see her. Which, of course, does make sense, too. I mean, she is the Aes Sedai who's there. And the Emerlin came all this way, so clearly seeing Meereen is going to be part of that, right? I mean, that's logical. So, they start walking through the corridors, and Leandrin tells Meereen that there have been three false dragons, one in Saldea, one in Mirrandy, one in Tyr. But the one in Saldea is the only one who seems like he can channel.
Right.
So I feel like there's some good foreshadowing there, probably.
It just seems strange that there was, like, and even Meereen was thinking, like, even Meereen agreed with me. It was really strange.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So they run into the lady.
Even someone who couldn't channel was claiming to be the dragon reborn.
Right, there's false dragons popping up all over the place. Oh my god, it must be the end days. Those damn Christians were right. But anyway, wrong story. But, so they run into the lady Amelisa, and Meereen greets her warmly, so that's good. Treats her well. They obviously get along well. And Meereen, out of the corner of her eye, sees Egwene go, like, running around the corner, and sees Rand behind her, stooped over. So I think that just shows again how perceptive, I guess, Meereen is. You know, how she sees everything. So
yeah, exactly.
And I don't know where I was going. I'm sorry. I went blank for a second.
They
take
her to the Emerald.
Yes, seat. There you go. So they head to the Emerald seat. So
they open the door.
I'm gonna let you obviously you've got this under control. I do not. So, they start talking about, Andor, and, Meereen is told by the other Aes Sedai that, Meereen, or that Morghese, who's the queen of Andor, doesn't seem to, like, have a grasp on her throne like she used to, but that the daughter heirs has arrived in Tar Valon, so her training is beginning. And we met her, that's Elaine. We met her in the first book for just a minute. Or at least Rand did. Rand fell into her, basically.
Right.
And then they start talking about the hunt for the horn. The Great Hunt. Weird name of the book. And that's been called an Ilion. And you'll find throughout the series that's where the Great Hunt always starts, is in Ilion. And I think they mentioned that in the last book as well. But
this is where I got confused and my eyes started rolling in the back of my head. Didn't they find the horn?
They did, but they also kept it secret. nobody except for Agilmar, who runs Faldara, and you know, that group, Moraine and Rand and Lan and them, they're the only ones who know.
Okay.
Because the horn's kind of a big deal.
So they didn't even let did you pronounce it Suan?
Suan. I call it Suan. I don't know.
Suan.
I've heard it pronounced
so
Suan as well.
Suan? No.
Not yet, no. But Suan just got there too.
Yeah.
But you're talking about like in whatever messages she may have sent Suan?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, it doesn't appear that she did.
Okay.
At least it seems that way, right?
It's when I swear to God, when they did start talking about all the different politics and stuff like that, my eyes did roll in the back of my head and I'm like, oh my God, I can't, like,
it's too much. Well, there are a couple of books in the middle, probably about 3 books in the middle of the series, that's all it is. And they are what's called the slog by people who read it, and they are very hard to get through. Nothing happens for the most part, and it's just political manipulations. And and the first time I was reading through the series, I was like, I don't know if I can continue this. And I'm so glad I did, because it picks itself back up. But it's like, oh my God, just stop. You know?
Yeah.
Dune's kind of that way. The Dune series gets heavy into the politics. So, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, when it starts getting so into it, you're like, there were certain things that I thought were important. And like when they were talking about, you know, that.
The last battle's coming and.
The last battle, but where. Surface could be the first Aes Sedai queen with a lot of power in like hundreds of years.
Elaine,
you know, that was interesting. I mean, that stuff. But when they were talking about like some of the politics within the Aes Sedai, that's where I got lost. I'm like, whoop.
Right. Well, we will get more into that moving forward. I promise you that. You will get all the political machinations that you could possibly want. So.
Yes.
They brought up the Aiel that they seem to be stirring, so I thought that was kind of funny. Because we haven't really brought up... Have we brought up the Aiel aside from saying that Rand looks like an Aielman? We really haven't. We haven't met any Aiel.
Yeah, not really. There hasn't been much. They've been on the periphery.
Right. So they seem to be stirring. The Sea Folk seem to be stirring. Like you can almost see, like, on every corner of this world, you see something's getting ready to happen, you know?
Right. The precipice.
They brought up Almuth Plain, and I thought it was interesting that Anaya said, well, no, that's just a rumor. Nothing's really happening there. So, that there's fighting on Almuth Plain, on
right.
Toman Head, which is an interesting call out because, in that Dark Friend social, Boris was told, do not talk about the people in Toman Head. So here it is being brought up again. And it's funny because this seems to be Moraine and Anaya talking. Like, Leandrin's like, come on, enough of it. Who cares? You know, I mean, just kind of weird. It's like they're
And that's kind of how I was, though, too.
Almost, exactly. Yeah, Leandrin almost seems like a third wheel here, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine that, you stupid red. That's what you get. But, all right, so... So she brings up again that, come on, you can't keep the Amyrlin waiting, and the Amyrlin will not, you can't, she won't take your idle talk, so just shut up, is more or less what she's saying. So they get to the, what do they call it, an anteroom, or like the greeting room, and there's more Aes Sedai there. So you have Varen Mathwyn, Seraphel, Alana Mosvani, and Carlinia. So out of these, I'll just tell you that Varen plays a role in the story, and Alana plays a role in the story. Like, they're two that you see over and over again throughout the series. The other two, I barely recognize their names, so they're just Aes Sedai. So it's Varen and Alana. Varen's a brown, Alana's a green. So they get to the room that the Aes Sedai, or that the Amyrlin's at. And you have Leanne, who's the Keeper of the Chronicles. What are your thoughts about the Keeper of the Chronicles? Like, what would that make Leanne?
She's a brown.
She's actually a blue.
Aren't the browns the librarians?
They are. But that's why I kind of brought this up. So Leanne is like the head squire or the head, like, she's the second in command, if you will. She's the vice president.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? Like, with Amberlynn being president, Leanne's the vice president, if you will, or the main secretary, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, she is, she is the number two. Not a piece of poop, but, you know, like, the...
Yeah, I know.
All right. We got that? All right. So they enter, and she leads Moraine in, and Moraine and Swan greet each other very formally, and Swan talks about her journey and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Moraine tells Swan that she has two girls here in Faldara who can channel, and it'll more than make up for the fact that Elaine might be a Rey, right? I mean,
right.
And then they, Swan brings up that she heard that Moraine's been meddling with a Tavirin, and that Elida has, talked to the tower, the hall of the tower, like the head Aes Sedai about it. So like the senators, if you will, or the congressmen of the Aes Sedai, that Elida went to them and talked to them about that. And that, Elida says that Moraine needs to be punished. So Elida's kind of rude, kind of a bitch. She's a Red if you've ever seen one, right? And Moraine tells her that, yes, there is Tavir. In fact, there are three of them. Like, she's found the jackpot.
Yeah.
So then they talk about change and how there's new alliances being formed and how everything is changing, right? I mean, that Aes Sedai are actually going against thousands of years of custom and of informal law. I mean, like there's something going on. Like, the world is changing, so... And then Swan dismisses Leanne, which is kind of strange. Like, Leanne is almost always there. Like I said, she's almost like the court reporter, or not reporter, but, you know, the one who sits up there with the little keyboard saying everything that happens. Like, I can't remember what you call that person, but, like, the Amberlynn is almost never alone, you know, so it's kind of weird that she's being left alone here. And Moraine kind of ends this chapter by saying, or Swan says, Moraine, if anybody, even Leanne, discovers what we plan, we will both be stilled. And I can't say that they'd be wrong for doing it. So that's kind of foreboding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Anything else stand out to you in this chapter?
Well, the thing is, like, I was confused about, like, where they wanted to send Moraine for her punishment.
It's not necessarily... Oh, did they bring up... I kind of skimmed through it. Did they bring up the farm? Did they say something like that?
Like, they said that she, you know, she had to be punished, and I thought that they had said she had to go someplace or something like that, or like they were talking about the punishment.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they actually brought it up this way. I should look through and see, but... What the Aes Sedai always talk about is shipping them off to the farm. Like, they have little farms outside of Tar Valon that they send bad Aes Sedai to do, like, work, you know, to do labor as their punishment. So that is probably kind of what's being referenced. Although, I don't feel like they really brought that up necessarily, but that tends to be what the punishment is for Aes Sedai. They certainly don't get... shipped to the mistress of novices, but
no. But hold on, looking. I will find it.
I will patiently wait while I get rid of cat hair off my cat.
Hold on.
You're talking about when?
Yeah, it was put forward in the hall that should be sent into retreat for contemplation.
Right.
This was proposed, and she said she had no desire to hoe vegetables in some remote village.
And I think that kind of, like, it warped later in the series, it's always a farm. So I think it's kind of the same concept, but he hadn't really figured out what he was doing with it yet. That's just my guess. I don't know.
And that the care be given to the Red Aja. So that meaning
sounds
Wayne
like,
and
right
Nynaeve.
It seems to me like they know the other Aes Sedai know that Meereen's up to something, and it's probably not good, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just seemed like the Red wanted to punish her. It just sounded like much worse for her, and that it wasn't going to be like some easy place to go. I don't know. That's where I was kind of having problems following.
Sure.
So.
It's not overly important. It's just the idea that the White Tower in general, the Hall of the Tower, which is the ruling body, the Congress, if you will. I always picture it like Star Wars with the, you know, you have the senators and all them and that big floating.
Yeah, I was getting that feeling.
Yeah, that's how I picture the Hall of the Tower.
Star Wars, yeah.
But it's like they're at their wit's ends with Meereen. You get the idea that she doesn't check back in with the tower very often. She's just kind of out there doing her own thing, which is not what Aes Sedai usually do. It's what they should be doing, honestly, but it's not what they do. I don't think I mentioned with you, but it seems to me like if the Aes Sedai really wanted to help the world and to show their political power and all that, they would have like little Aes Sedai centers in every major city. You know, I mean, like Aes Sedai recruiting centers, if you will, like many towers, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't. So in fact, a lot of cities don't even want them there. But I do think little words in this chapter. You had the Koromor was brought up in relation to the Seafolk. Any thought of what the Koromor is?
No.
Okay. Well, it wasn't. That's going to be one of those pins because it wasn't really explained outside of that. But I did. This was the first time that the Koromor was mentioned. Anything else that stood out?
I just have a feeling that from the Reds, there's going to be more Blacks revealed.
Right.
The Reds seem to be like more like starting to rule. They seem more predisposed
to be Black. If you're a Black sister, Black Aja, and you have a warder, then you have to think that warder's probably Black Aja as well because of the bond between them.
Right.
You know, I mean, it would be weird if you had a non-Black warder.
It would be very hard to be a Black Aja and not...
Not have a dark friend who's your helper.
And not have a warder.
So, yeah.
And have a warder,
I do agree that it does seem like... And they seem not necessarily like the bad guys, but as far as the seven Ajahs go, they seem like they would be most likely to be the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't disagree. I think logically that does make sense. I think it was interesting that Meereen, during this chapter, brought up that Egwene would sit in the Umbralan seat one day. She's because of her personality, you know, that she's so... Like, she has that personality, that leadership personality, that she said it would be Egwene, not Nynaeve, is interesting, right?
Yeah.
When they were bringing up the false dragons, you had Mazarin Tyene was brought up. That's the false dragon in Saldea, I think. But he didn't have a lot of followers. So I thought that was interesting. They brought him up.
And did they say that Loghain should already be gentled by now?
Right. That Loghain should be gentled and that they had captured this Taim. He was the one who could channel. And the other one who could channel. And they should be back on their way to the White Tower with him as they speak. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that Swan almost wasn't allowed to go, like the hall voted, and she succeeded by one vote to come to Faldara. So interesting that she doesn't have the Umbralan seat is not the be all end all power like a queen. You know, I mean, she still has to, like a president of this country is supposed to be. They are held accountable by others, by other politicians, if you will. So. It was 13 votes to 8. So that's interesting.
Well, and I also thought it interesting when Murray noted that the green and the red were kind of working together mm-hmm. when they never worked together in the past.
But it makes sense by their personality types that they should kind of work together, right? Because the
but
green...
they were always saying that they keep just shouting. Like
right.
But like that they're actually cooperating and kind of creating a coalition.
I almost said a clique. Yeah, a coalition. That's a good way to put it. And it's not a coalition on Swan's side. So that's interesting. In fact, if you think about it, if you have 13 who are voting for her and 8 who are voting against, and that 3 of those that voted for her, I don't know. I'm going down a rabbit hole. I'm not even going to get head that way.
You and your rabbit holes.
I can't help who I am, so.
We should call you Rabbit.
Call me Roger. All right. Anything else stand out to you in chapter 4?
But I did say we'd be seeing more of the Aes Sedai.
And I don't think the Aes Sedai are going to disappear from our little game here, our little book, our story. So.
I don't think so. But it'd be interesting to see what happens if Moraine tells them that Padme Fain is there.
Yes, it would be. Although, will they know who Padme Fain is? I mean, he was mostly before you know this little turn. He was just a peddler, right? I mean, I don't know if
right,
the white.
Right, but I mean, I'm wondering if Moraine has told the the Valerian seat, because that's pretty and she always had Padme Fain brought up from his rooms to her room.
Right.
So I'm wondering if he told them, because she hasn't been down there. She hasn't seen what he's done to people. So isn't that kind of putting the Amaryllis seat at danger?
I would think so. Now, I don't know if she's going to bring Padme Fain up in front of the Amaryllis. I mean, I'm sure if the Amaryllis... Plus, I mean... If,
well, wouldn't the Amaryllis want to speak to him, maybe?
Probably, but she can channel, so she feels like she's... She can't be hurt by a normal person, even if they are a dark friend. I guess that's how she looks at it, okay. Right? I mean, there's a lot of egos with the Aes Sedai, you know? I mean, they have the ability to channel, so any man that can't channel can't really hurt him, right? That's the way they look at it. Now, that's not true, because one stray arrow could kill a woman who could channel or not channel if they don't see it coming and get it stopped right. And all that, but... You know how, I mean, look at the president, and I'm not talking about just our current one, but the president of our country here doesn't exactly, he thinks he's protected to the point where he can't be hurt, right? I mean, that's kind of, positions of power are, people in positions of power tend to have personalities that put them in that position, right?
Yeah.
I mean, being a weak mind or a non, like, if you don't think you're better than everybody else, you don't tend to drift towards positions of power, right? So
makes sense.
You have any predictions for this week, for upcoming, anything that stand out that you think's going to happen? Padme Fain was brought up in this reading. Where do you think that is that going to go anywhere?
That's what I was wondering, if he's gonna do something.
Okay,
so because of what he's doing to the people around him, I think something's going to try and happen.
Okay,
be influenced by him.
The book is called The Great Hunt. I brought this up last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe last week. I don't remember. But what will be The Great Hunt? Like, where does that name come from?
Well, they did the hunt for the horn.
Right, and they found it. Although that wasn't necessarily a hunt, they just happened to come across it, more or less. They weren't looking for the horn. They just found it.
It's in one of those. The Great Hunt.
They haven't said what The Great Hunt is. I was just wondering what your thoughts on it, on what it is. Like, what are they going to be hunting for?
Answers.
I like it. That'll work. You're like, stop asking me questions. So you have a bunch of Aes Sedai here in Faldara. Is anything... that's not really a good question. That's leading, so I'm not going to ask that. All right, that's about all I have. I didn't have a discussion question, but since nobody's responding anyway, I'm not concerned about that. I'll come up with a good one for next week instead. But, yeah. Anything else stand out on this week's reading?
I have a feeling Rand's not done with Moraine.
Okay, so you don't think that they're going to go their own ways?
I don't know. Like, she's going to see him before... I don't think he's going to be able to escape without her knowing.
One thing that kind of I like it. That's a good prediction. One thing that kind of stood out to me was just the, like, everywhere they go, that there's this reverence for Aes Sedai, but like that reverence is turned up 1,000 times when it's the Amyrlin, right? I mean, just
yeah. She
is like the queen of queens almost, right? So right. I thought that was pretty interesting. So,
and I think the boys will make up.
And you also, okay, so you think that Rand will patch his little issues with Matt and Perrin? Do you think it'll be easier to patch it with one or the other?
I think it might be easier with Perrin because he understands, like, his body going through things that he might not understand and might even bring them closer together.
I like it. And you think Matt might be the stubborn one?
I think Matt might be the stubborn one, and then he's going to sense more feeling of betrayal and think it's two against one.
Okay. It probably doesn't help that Matt still has that dagger.
That's what I mean, because he has the dagger.
If there might be some residual coming from that. You know, I mean, he's been quote-unquote healed. But he hasn't actually been fully healed. I mean, he still has to carry around the dagger. Cool.
And he still clutches at that constantly. And the thing is, Padden Thane's really tied to it. So that's why I was thinking that Padden Thane might do something with it.
Yeah, so where do you think... that's an interesting call-out. So why is Padden Thane so mixed in with it? I mean...
Well, he's a dark fiend.
I like that. Not a dark friend, but a dark fiend. He is a... He seems to be more than just a dark friend, right? I mean, he's...
Yeah.
So, cool. All right, yeah, any...
He's more than just something little.
I agree. There's clearly... If he's being brought up in the introduction chapters to the book, there's... Clearly, he's going to play a role further into the book, right?
Yeah, plus he can pull up people's happy memories... Like, that's how he got, like, Egwene to come back to see him. Like, he's playing
kinda,
on something.
Kind of creepy, isn't it?
It is.
All right. So next week, we are going to do chapters 5 through chapters 8. Chapter 8, so y'all can get 4 chapters. But, you know, you're not going to complain because you're a good sidekick, a good lackey here. So?
Oh, well, good lackey.
You like
good
it?
Good lackey, you say.
I do say. Any final thoughts on today's episode? Well, perfect. I will see all 29. Give me a second. I'm actually going to check that.
Ooh.
We had 29 downloads last I saw, so let's see if that's changed. I did put up the last one. Nope, we're still at 29. 29 downloads so far, so we're not quite the most popular thing on the internet, but we're on our way. We're well on our way, so... So yeah, for those 3 people who keep listening to our episodes, hopefully I will have this up on Wednesday, but thank you. And send any emails that you, any questions or any thoughts or any anything you think we might have missed to adventuresinrandland@gmail.com. Outside of that, I will see all 3 of you next week. All right.
I'll see you on Monday.
And I will see you on Monday if I don't call in sick.
Excuse me?
What? Who said that? Is that out loud? All right.
That was out loud.
I will see everybody next week.